Welcome to the 54th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete, and I enjoy bringing these podcasts to help people adopt a plant-based whole food lifestyle, learn a little bit about endurance sports, and get a little bit positive in their ability to take care of themselves and take care of your own health and be in control of your own health. So welcome. Today, it's just me. So we'll be talking a little bit about what I've been up to. Not much in the way of endurance events. After my third event, I'm having a little posterior tibial tendonitis, so it's coming along. I'm swimming and biking, but not running, so I'm hoping in the next couple days I'll get back running. Yes, I probably overdid it just a little bit, but hopefully I'll be stronger for it in the end. It's still hot down here in South Florida. It was 91 degrees over the weekend. I'm sorry for all you people up north that are having cold and rainy weather, but we're still hot and dry down here, and my garden would like some of your rain. I'm still working on my tomatoes and cauliflower and peppers, and things are hanging on, but just barely, so please send some rain our way. This Saturday, I went to the Tampa, Florida Vegetable Festival. It was my first Veg Fest as a plant-based whole foods cardiologist. I had the pleasure of hearing Dustin Rudolph speak. He's the author of Empty Medicine Cabinet. He, along with Evelise Capo, she is also a PharmD, and she is has her website at thefoodpharmacy.com. They gave a great lecture on the role of nutrition and preventing heart disease and reversing heart disease. So that was really good to see. I brought my dog Samantha with me, and I didn't realize the lecture was going to be inside, and so. Luckily, it was, you know, a vegetarian festival, so there was a lot of animal activists, so they let Samantha come inside. She was really appreciative because it was 91 degrees outside, so she was really hot. So she behaved herself during the lecture and didn't ask any inappropriate questions, so that was good. It was an interesting crowd. They had numerous booths, you know, Greyhound Rescue, pit bull rescue, beagle, booth about beagles and how they're used for research. They had a pig rescue booth, and there were a lot of other animal awareness booths, so that was really cool. Some adoption places from the local shelter, so that was good. And the food choices were vegetarian, and there were a couple different chains or a couple different restaurants represented. The Loving Hut was one of them that we had some food from. Also, there was an Ethiopian restaurant that had some food, a food booth. There was some frozen desserts, and then there was a gluten-free cupcake type stand, and there was a coffee stand. So, you know, it was a kind of comfort fair festival food in a vegetarian sort of way. So it wasn't along the, you know, Whole Foods plant-based menu. But, you know, we managed to get some food. There was a little oil on our rice and vegetables, more so than I would have liked. But not too bad. We had a spring roll, so that was good. Evelise gave a cooking demonstration at her booth, so that was good. So hopefully she attracted or, you know, enlightened a lot of people on cooking whole food, plant-based, low oil. So that was enjoyable. But it was a hot day, and but I think they had a pretty good turnout. I will have to look and see, you know, if compared to previous years, if it's growing or not. I gave another talk at the local hospital, and this was on a plant-based Thanksgiving. And I think it was well-received. I always find it very interesting. You know, this is the beginning of the eating season, You know, it starts with trick-or-treating and people making desserts, and then it rolls into Thanksgiving, where people traditionally overeat, and then it's not too long before Christmas cookies appear and Christmas parties and Christmas celebrations appear, and then New Year's Eve, and before people know it, they can have 15 or 20 pounds on, and then starts the cycle in January of trying to get it off and to only repeat it again in another year. So I thought I'd give this talk on early on how to do a plant-based Whole Foods Thanksgiving dinner. And I wasn't sure, you know, I showed some, you know, different recipes that we do. But last year when at Thanksgiving time, I put a post on Facebook that if you could have your family or a turkey, which would you choose? And I was really surprised at the response that I got, and that a lot of people wouldn't choose. They really wanted the turkey, and they said that their family wouldn't be happy unless they had the turkey, and that Thanksgiving was all about the turkey. And, you know, traditionally, if you watch any Thanksgiving movies, and if you look to any, you know, what Thanksgiving was truly about, it was about being thankful, and not anything to really do with having a turkey. And so we talked about that a little bit, you know, the psychology of eating turkey on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I went over that the first Thanksgiving, there wasn't a turkey. They had reportedly venison. They didn't have access to sugar, so they didn't have pies. They didn't even have potatoes. So they had vegetables that they, you know, that they had around, the corn and venison. So it was certainly not turkey. And that the person responsible largely for the recipes for Thanksgiving was Sarah Josephia Hale. And she's also the person that petitioned the government for 40 years before Abe Lincoln finally declared Thanksgiving an official holiday. And she also provided the recipes in 1863 for what should be there on the menu for Thanksgiving, which included turkey and pumpkin pie. So it certainly wasn't the first, you know, ever Thanksgiving, you know, and if you look at football and parades, they didn't start till 1934. The other thing that I found interesting was that George H. Bush, was the first president to pardon a turkey in 1989. I didn't realize that he was the first person to pardon a turkey. And it came to mind, well, why did he do that? So apparently George H. Bush has some thought process that, you know, the turkey doesn't really have it the best on Thanksgiving. So, I think that, you know, again, it takes us back to what Thanksgiving's all about. And I think most people, if you went around a table at Thanksgiving and you said, what are you thankful for? They would say their families and their health and maybe the safety of in the area that they live. And not necessarily thank you for the turkey. I think that, you know, that would be way, way, way down the list when push comes to shove. And then if you start thinking about their health, then, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner is anything but, you know, it's taking your health and kind of putting it on the back burner if you start this overeating, big, high, greasy meal. And, you know, I think, you know, people often blame various chemicals or amino acids in the turkey for being tired, but I think it's probably the saturated fat and the vasoconstriction that people have that just make them extremely sleepy over Thanksgiving. So, you know, so we started there on my talk and basically, you know, progressed. But, you know, I think that people, it's not so much the turkey, but the way we've been brought up in America with the standard American diet, that if there's not meat on the plate, then people feel deprived, or that maybe that they're missing out, or that their table is less than their neighbor's table. And it may go back to a fear of being hungry. You know, for those of you who had families that were grandparents or parents that, you know, grew up during the Depression or World War II, that when meat was rationed, you know, to have meat on the table again was considered, you know, a success or abundance. So taking it off was, again, you know, it's a negative type connotation. And, you know, I also think it's kind of funny that, you know, people will complain about certain things they don't like on Thanksgiving when it comes to the vegetables. Maybe it's the Brussels sprouts or maybe spinach or something like that. But you know, nobody ever complains about the turkey. So I think it, you know, the status of the meat and what that stands for is way beyond just having a turkey for Thanksgiving. And if you take that a little bit further, you can go into the, you know, what is the difficulty of getting rid of the turkey, you know, at Thanksgiving? And, you know, I reference, you know, the one reference of the stuffing, you know, you stuff greasy bread up a turkey's digestive tract, you know, that we know contains salmonella and E. coli and a whole host of other bacteria, and nobody thinks a thing about it. But, you know, doing a whole Thanksgiving with vegetables, people freak out, so it's pretty funny. I had a psychiatrist in my office, and he is transitioning to a plant-based diet, and he's having some trouble. And, you know, I asked him, you know, what seems to be the problem? And, you know, do you not believe the science? And, you know, he did believe the science of, you know, that whole food, plant-based nutrition is certainly more healthy and can reverse heart disease and reverse diabetes and reverse hypertension. Then, you know, well, what's the problem? And he's like, well, I can't stick to it. And, you know, the temptations of white bread, he said. So, you know, how do you get past that? There's a new book that's out by Matt Fitzgerald, and I've had him on the show before, and I hope to have him again. It's a book on running and doing your best, and it's called How Bad Do You Want It? And it's kind of funny because it's a similar type thought process that our mind really controls our ability to achieve our best during an endurance event. It's how long can you take the pain? You know, how long before you say enough? You know, and he talks about, you know, walking on the hot coals as an analogy or a metaphor. And, you know, how long will you stay on the coals before you come off? And I think in some respects, changing to a plant-based whole foods diet might be a little bit like walking on those coals, that it's a little bit uncomfortable. And how long can you stay on before you achieve your goal? And it really doesn't have anything to do with the science, because everybody pretty much knows it's there. It's the perceived discomfort, just like the perceived discomfort in the running event. Some people don't perceive it as much, or some people are even expecting to have discomfort, so it's not a surprise. But I think it's the perception of eating a whole food plant-based diet that really trips people up. You know, it's not planning meal by meal and just going forth. It's the tripping up of thinking and analyzing the plate and not seeing what they thought should be there, as opposed to, you know, what truly is there and why it's there. You know, so you can, if you have your heart set, or you think that, you know, meat and cheese is the answer, then taking that away can be very, very difficult. But if you look at it with the perspective that a whole food plant-based diet allows you to eat a larger quantity because it's lower in caloric density. The food tastes great. It comes from a variety of vegetables with a variety of nutrients, and it's going to fuel your body and make you feel well in the long run. I think it's a lot easier to continue to walk that path or walk across those coals, as opposed to in your mind think that, well, I don't like tofu, and you've never tasted it. I like my meat. I need my cheese. And with that perception, it's the way I've always lived. It's the tradition of our family. It's the way, you know, ethnically I was brought up. I think all those thoughts are set up for you to fail. So, you know, I think I would encourage people to maybe kind of make a list of the benefits and, you know, prepare yourself for the challenge of starting to eat plant-based. You know, I'm going to cook this way. It's going to take a little bit more effort up front to plan my menus and plan my shopping list. But in the end, I'm going to achieve better health, better nutrition, more energy. there was, I listened to a podcast where, and I can't remember her name right off the bat, but she's an author of a cookbook. And she was talking about how, you know, she decided to go Whole Foods plant-based for her health. She had some high blood pressure and her husband had some issues as well. And they had kids at home. And she's like, well, I'm the cook, so I cook and put the food on the table and they eat it. They really weren't given a choice. And I really do think that that's, you know, a good way to approach your family, especially your children. I don't know, you know, your spouse is a little bit more difficult, but, you know, I think kids, you know, are given way too many choices when it comes to what they eat. They have no concept of nutrition. And if they've been given, you know, in the past, some sugary sweet things, they're going to want that. But it won't take very long for them to realize and to start to feel better themselves that they're, if they're given a whole foods, plant-based diet that's rich in nutrients and fruit that are sweet, that they'll do quite well. And they need not be given choices. You know, it may be a couple, it may be a few rough days at first. There may be things that you compromise on and make more of one thing and less of another at first. But I think in the end, if you keep putting the spinach out, eventually they're going to try it and it'll be okay. And, you know, maybe you'll change the way that you make it or put it on things and have them taste it. But I think that it still should be presented until, you know, the kids, they get used to it. It was also funny, you know, the psychology of all this eating and health is very amazing to me. I go into the doctor's lounge and they're introducing some new computer applications, and they have a specialist in there presenting the information. So they want the doctors to participate. So what do they have on every table is a bowl of candy. So when you all expect your physicians to tell you what to eat and to talk about nutrition, just remember that they can be bribed to do just about anything with a bowl of candy. So, you know, you got to take it all in stride. And, you know, and going back along that line, I have to, you know, I'm pretty observant, you know, in the doctor's lounge when people come in, because it's terrible food. They, you know, they have a buffet of sausage gravy and biscuits and eggs and cheesy eggs and bacon and sausage. And there's a little bowl of, you know, fruit, and there's a little thing of kind of dried up oatmeal and dried up grits. But this one administrator comes in the morning and they go around this little buffet like they're, you know, checking it out. It's the same thing every morning. And they know that it's really not what they should be eating, but they can't stay away from it. So he goes, you know, kind of goes around and he looks in and he picks a piece of bacon out with the tongs and he takes it and he eats it on the way to go get his plate. And he comes back with the bowl and he goes around again and then he takes the bacon and he kind of crunches it down in the bottom of the bowl. And then he covers it up with eggs, which, you know, they're healthy in case you didn't know. No, that's a lie. They're not healthy, but, you know, the... there's, you know, a bit of a controversy with the eggs and, you know, the egg board. And so people will try to defend eating eggs as being okay. So he puts the eggs on top and he puts some cheesy eggs on top and he kind of sneaks another piece of bacon or sausage in there and he kind of puts some biscuit on top and puts the lid on it and goes out with it. So he knows what he's supposed to, you know, he knows that he's not supposed to be eating that stuff. And, you know, he's not a healthy looking kind of guy. But if it's there, he eats it, you know. So why do we have that? You know, it goes to everybody's weakness, their inability to walk across the coals if tempted with these foods that traditionally they've liked and they've thought we're healthy, and they can't give up. So it's pretty interesting to watch. I would be interested in hearing from some of my listeners what they're going to be doing for Thanksgiving as far as, are you having Whole Foods plant-based Thanksgiving? Are you preparing a separate meal for your friends and family? Are you going somewhere and taking a covered dish? Because I think that's, you know, that is an option. If you are going to someone's house and you feel self-conscious about not eating the turkey, again, if they're having a turkey, you know, that's more for them. So I don't think they'll feel bad that you don't eat their turkey. So I would encourage people to take two or three different covered dishes, and you know, you'll probably be covered as far as what you're gonna eat. But people have asked me, you know, what do we have on for Thanksgiving? And you know, we have a big table full of food, and you know, we eat more than we should, but it's Whole Foods plant-based. You know, we make stuffing balls for Thanksgiving with onions and celery and vegetable broth and breadcrumbs, and they're baked. And we put mushroom gravy on them. And we also have mashed potatoes with mushroom gravy. We do a cold green bean salad with green beans and tomatoes and onion. We do sweet potatoes. We do lima beans. We have a cranberry salad with oranges and walnuts. So we do a bok choy salad with the bok choy and the tomato, or bok choy, pomegranate, and mandarin oranges. So there's plenty to eat. And we have pumpkin pie for dessert or some other kind of apple tart of some sort. So, you know, we get plenty to eat. Oh, and there's also the seitan. So we do a seitan roast. In years past, we've purchased it, and it had hazelnuts and cranberries inside. This year, I'm going to make my own seitan roast, and I think I'll have some cranberries and some walnuts in there. So, you know, and that's a chewy, textury type dish, and it looks good on the table, and it, you know, you could take one of those if you were going to someone's house, just so they're happy that you're eating something that appears to look like meat, you know, to enable you to walk across the coals. You're not being deprived. You're getting lots and lots of good food, but it's not going to hurt you. So I'd encourage you to let me know how you're going to deal with the Thanksgiving holiday, and maybe ask questions if you're afraid of the upcoming Thanksgiving holidays, or you're trying to do a mixed holiday with your family. I think it would be interesting to discuss it. As far as last week's podcast with atrial fibrillation and the athlete, I had a couple questions on, you know, if people have risk factors to develop atrial fibrillation before they're endurance athletes. If you recall, athletes that were high-level athletes for longer periods of time tend to have a higher risk of atrial fibrillation, and it's kind of because their heart tends to be enlarged and makes them more prone to the irregular heartbeats. But certainly as an older age group athlete, you can be at risk for atrial fibrillation from the traditional causes of enlarged heart from high blood pressure and diabetes and high cholesterol, leading to heart disease. So, you know, the end result is that, you know, there are risks associated with endurance athletics. There are risks associated with anything. And you have to weigh the risk versus the benefits. But I think that if you control the risks that you can as far as proper nutrition and avoiding stimulants and keeping a good weight, that your risk of these bad things are low and better taken care of more easily handled than people that have multiple problems, you know, including vascular disease because they've eaten incorrectly. So atrial fibrillation can be a little bit of a scary topic, but again, you know, there are lots of things that can be done to keep you doing what you want with atrial fibrillation without the risk of a decreased lifespan. So I hope you enjoyed that lecture as well and learned something from it. But again, don't be too, there's, again, extreme amount of hope with regard to heart disease and eating proper nutrition. Since we are getting into fall, I always ask people what they had for breakfast and dinner the night before, and oatmeal is such a great breakfast food to have. It's, again, traditionally thought of as somewhat boring when people think of a packet of oatmeal and just eating the packet of oatmeal. But I think that oatmeal can be really exciting and a great breakfast to look forward to if you spice it up a little bit. And especially in the fall, there are many different ways to do it. I like my oatmeal, and again, we're here in Florida, so it's still hot, but I tend to like cold oatmeal, so I'll do refrigerator oatmeal overnight. And I'll put about a half a cup of oats in a jar and cover it with almond or soy milk or even water and add raisins and cinnamon and clove to that and let it sit overnight. And then the next morning, I'll add a variety of different toppings. So because it's Thanksgiving and fall season, I get into pumpkin. So I add about a quarter cup of pumpkin to that oatmeal in the morning and maybe a little bit more almond milk and some more spices and walnut, and it tastes like a pumpkin pie. My daughter has discovered that she likes cranberries on her oatmeal with walnuts and raisins. And so, again, that's kind of another twist on a Thanksgiving holiday type of dish, and you're getting lots of nutrients there. You can do the traditional blueberries, but the cranberries, I think, is an interesting change. I also like, more of an apple crisp type oatmeal where I'll put apples and walnuts and raisins and cinnamon on my oatmeal. And, so you get the fresh fruit. So try to make sure you're adding, a good handful or a good cup of fresh fruit to your oatmeal. Also do the banana nut oatmeal. So it becomes, a breakfast to look forward to as opposed to a bland breakfast. My new favorite lunch craze here for the last week or so has been a wrap with hummus and sprouts. I listened to a nutritional facts presentation by Dr. Greger talking about the benefits of sprouting, and I kind of go through phases about sprouting, but I got a little sprouting container. Traditionally, you can sprout in a jar, but I got this it's kind of a square stackable sprouting container. So there's a little part on the bottom where you can soak the seeds. And then there's two racks that have drains in them that you can have different sprouts sprouting at different time periods so that you can have one almost ready to eat, 3 days in, one that's 1 to 2 days in, and one that's just soaking. So I've started to do that with some broccoli sprouts, and they're really good. So I'll do the hummus wrap with broccoli sprouts and some sriracha and some really thinly sliced cucumbers and orange or green peppers and some thinly sliced carrots. And that's a really, really good wrap for lunch. And if I have some soup, I'll have that with it. So I really enjoy those wraps. And again, the sprouting is fun, and you get a lot of nutrients in sprouts. They're heavily concentrated, more so than in the end fruit that you get. So sprouts can be really good. The other kind of sprouts that I like are sunflower seed sprouts, where I'll you soak those overnight and then lay them on just a bed of dirt. You don't have to, just a little a planter on top of the dirt and cover them with wet paper towels for 2 days. And then after 2 days, you take the paper towels off after keeping it wet, and you'll see your sprouts. And then the third day, you have sunflower sprouts, and just snip those off. And, you have a nice container of sunflower sprouts to put on your sandwich or your salad. And then you can just, again, have another set soaking and keep the rotation going. And it's a really good way to grow your own sprouts and have good nutrient-dense greens. My Swiss chard is starting to come along, so I'm really excited about that, to be able to add my own greens to my salad. I think there's something good about being in control of your nutrients and growing your own. So I'd encourage you guys to try, even if you're living in the city, you can certainly, you know, either just even a simple sprout jar to work. But this little container, I got it on Amazon. It's just a little square, I don't know, probably 6x6 square plastic little stackable thing that is really, really handy to do sprouts in. So I encourage you to give that a shot. And as far as a dinner item, you know, we always talk about, or we often talk about veganizing things that we had traditionally growing up. And one thing that my family liked in the summertime when we had a lot of fresh tomatoes was to pick some green and have green fried tomatoes. Well, that's certainly a vegan dish, but fried is not so heart healthy. So we've taken that and done baked stuffed green tomatoes. So again, just kind of coring out a little bit of the center of the green tomato, and I put a little bit of nutritional yeast, and I had some farruca left, which is a whole wheat grain. It's the seed of the grain, and put that in there and baked it in the oven at 350 for about a half hour. And it tastes like the green fried tomatoes, but you don't have the grease, so you don't have any oil, and it's really, really delicious. And I think I'm probably going to have those for Thanksgiving as well, because they turned out so good. And you could put the stuffing balls in there too. You know, you could just put little stuffing in the tomatoes if you wanted to do it that way, or do the whole grains. You know, wheat berry would be good. There's a variety of different grains. You could put couscous in there, all of which would be really, really good. So if you have anything that you're going to do for Thanksgiving that's a tradition that you like to veganize and you're not sure how, give me a note, or give me a drop me a note, and email me at jamiedelaney.com. It's J-A-M-I, Delaney, D-U-L-A-N-E-Y, @gmail.com. Or if you have something that you'd like to share that's an interesting side dish that you make for your family, I'd certainly like to hear from it, because I'm always willing to add a menu item to my table that could spice things up a little bit. So I'd love to hear from you with that regard. We're still working on trying to have a whole day conference in January. We'll have speakers on whole foods, plant-based nutrition. We'll have some cooking demonstrations, maybe some sprouting demonstrations, maybe a yoga demonstration or a meditation demonstration. Maybe some exercise advice as well, and do a whole day and have some speakers come in. So I will keep you informed of that. The date I'm looking at is January 23rd at this point. So mark your calendars if you'd like to come to Port Charlotte, Florida for a long weekend and come to a plant-based nutrition conference. We'd certainly love to have you. Again, check out my website at drdelaney.com, and I'd encourage you to, if you like the podcast, to drop me a favorable response on iTunes. I'd love to hear from you. And I think we'll call it short this week. My next nutrition class starts early in December. Our last class is this week. So we'll have our little test, and I'll follow up with you. We'll probably repeat the four leaf survey to see where people are along their journey, and I'll make a report on the next podcast as to how the class did overall. Tomorrow night, we're the Charlotte County Plant-Based Foodies is meeting at a local restaurant called Tribu for a pre-Thanksgiving plant-based dinner, so that should be exciting to see what the chef is going to prepare things on his own. He knows the role of whole foods, plants, and no salt, sugar, or butter, no oil. So we'll see how he does. I think he did an excellent dinner last year. So keep in touch. There's also a special surprise coming up for the class that's starting in December. They're going to have a special opportunity, and once we start that, I will let everybody know what's going on there so you can track their progress on their special adventure. So thanks for listening and tuning in, and give me an email if you have any questions or thoughts or ideas. And until next time, eat your plants, exercise, get some sunlight, and be kind to turkeys.